Alex, I believe I have reached the equivalent of nirvana.
Tell me more.
Well, I have been sleeping on my cozy earth sheets.
Wow.
And when I get up in the morning, I put on my fantastic jogger suit.
Yes.
Which is a funny way to put it, but you started saying that, so I'm just going to keep on going. And it is opening my mind to things I didn't know I could open my mind to.
Casey, all I have to say is, welcome to the other side.
It's incredible, Alex.
I've lived two lives. One of them is before Cozy Earth, and one is after.
Which is right now.
That's right. We're talking Cozy Earth. They make incredible, soft, lovely, temperature-controlled bedding and cozy wear.
Cozy Earth makes the best clothes I think I've ever touched, that have ever touched my skin.
Casey, I'm right there with you.
It's soft, it's breathable, it's temperature regulated, it looks good, it feels good, which makes it good.
And how about this for good? All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So if for some completely batshit reason you don't love these sheets, you can return them.
Now, Alex, right around the corner is Mother's Day. If you haven't already done something, which you should have,
yeah,
now's your moment. Go buy your mom some Cozy Earth, because it is the thing that will help her sleep at night. It's the thing that will help keep her comfortable at all moments of her life. And that's what you want for your mom.
So she isn't up all night thinking about what a disappointment her children are.
Exactly, because they didn't get her Cozy Earth. You don't want to be on that level.
Well, Casey, here's some exciting news. All Completely Arbitrary listeners get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. Again, that's promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, for 35% off at Cozy Earth. So get yourself cozy. Get your mom cozy. Hell, get your dad cozy and your friends cozy.
Yeah, it doesn't have to stop there, you know?
Make the earth cozy with Cozy Earth.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson. And over there on the couch, we got Monsieur Casey Clapp.
Ooh, just hanging.
Casey, I can't help but notice you yawned loudly into the mic. Why would that be?
Well, you said that I was hanging out on the couch, so I thought that to me felt like I should be casual.
I thought that was your transition into a disclaimer that we're both very sleepy this morning.
Oh, yes, that is also true. I am also, we are, yes, that is, I should, that's, you know, it was a double entendre, I think.
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah, why are you tired, Alex?
Well, Casey, I had a great last couple of days. I went up to see Seattle with the band that I play in, Isabeau Via Walker, and we played a KEXP session.
What?
Which is something I've really wanted to do for a really, really long time.
Hold on, KEXP, you mean the independent, public-funded radio station out of Seattle that always has cool acts on the internet?
90.3 KEXP!
Oh my god! Alex, I'm so stoked about this, by the way.
I know, me too. It's kind of surreal that I am gonna be on one of those.
Yeah.
I know it's not like a... Okay, it's not a... It may not be objectively a huge deal because they have a million of those videos.
Yeah, sure, sure.
But I'm very proud of our group, and
yeah,
it was such a cool opportunity, and I love all of my bandmates.
Yeah.
And
I mean, they don't invite just anyone to go up there. I don't have an invite. Hey, that guy crushes at some karaoke.
Come on and do some acapella scat.
Hey, could you do like a really bad version of Tom Waits?
Yeah. But it was amazing, and it was a super long day because a few hours after we recorded that, we played a show at the Sunset Tavern, which also went great, and then around 11 o'clock, we drove home to Portland.
It's just insane. But of course, you and I, Alex, we're on a tear right now because I'm leaving for Italy.
Yes.
With my mom.
Amazing.
She's going to be great. We've had this trip planned since before the pandemic. And then it was like, it was 2019. We're like, we're going to Italy this year, mm-hmm. or next year, 2020. And then the first, like in March, and was like, all right, well, September's still like 6 months away. There's some time.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone knows how that story ended.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we're going to do it a little while ago. Then my grandpa was really sick, and so we had to like put it off. And then he passed away last November. And mm-hmm. so we, you know, kind of said, okay, when can we do this? Should we do this? How's it going to be? And we said, we're going to do it. So we got it planned and organized for this April. And then I'm doing the wedding where my friend Max's bachelorhood expires. Then I'm doing a conference in Kentucky.
Wow.
And so I went to you, Alex, and said, hey, do you want to like, is this okay? Can I do this? And then you said, yeah, definitely. Then you and I both got sick for 2 weeks.
Yes.
And then I made a schedule and said, here we go. We have to sprint for the next 4 weeks.
You know what it reminded me of, Casey, is like, so you brought this plan to me because you wanted to go on all these trips. Uh-huh. It reminded me a bit of like when a kid like wants an Xbox and he like puts a presentation together for his parents, all the good reasons why he should have an Xbox.
Drawn in crayon. Here's all the lawns he's going to mow. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Here's a graph of my happiness before I have an Xbox. And if you look at the numbers here after I have my Xbox,
you can see how they're increased. Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. Yeah.
And I was very game because I'm excited for you to go to Italy and
thank you.
Hopefully bring me back some salami.
Ideally I will. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's introduce what we're doing here.
Yeah, hold on, all right.
Casey, this is the beginning.
Oh yes,
we've gathered here today. This is the beginning of a 7-part series on Completely Arbitrary,
full of naughty things.
Oh yeah, we're talking greed.
Yeah, gluttony.
We're talking what's another one?
Sloth.
Sloth. The name of this series, Casey?
Yes. 7 Deadly Stems.
That's right.
You came up with that, Alex.
I don't know if I agree. I think it might have been... I think it was you.
No.
I think it was you.
I never do that. That's great.
The student has become the master.
Oh my God.
That's right. A 7-part series where we are going to talk about the 7 deadly sins.
That's right.
In the context of trees.
Now, as everyone knows, you know, everything's related to trees.
It's true.
But we don't always have themes that are like, oh, now this tree is gluttonous. And these kind of gluttonous? Gluttonous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry. So this is fun. It's an overarching theme. And I came up with all the trees in my fever dream a couple weeks ago. And I'm very excited about them. And a lot of them I think are pretty good. But some of them are like, gluttony, round up. Here we go. We're going to talk about this mystery.
Don't tell people that.
Well, all right. They're all incredible.
Yeah, some of these episodes might stink, but a couple of them are going to be pretty good.
No. The episodes are going to crush all the time.
You mean some of like the choices, like making the connection between the two things. Okay.
Exactly.
I got you.
Some of them, it's just very hard to come up with like a lazy tree, but I think I did. Some are the metaphor or the connection, obvious, great. Others, it's like, I see how you got there.
Sure.
Okay.
And I think, Casey, this has been your brainchild, Casey. I'm very excited that we're doing it. The way that we're doing it, the way you got me to agree to it is by presenting the entire thing to me in full.
Yes.
And saying, we're doing this.
Hey, I planned out the next 6 months of your life, Alex. What do you think?
I've updated your calendar. And Casey, this series will finally answer the question, what's in the box, Elder?
I didn't know you were going to say that. That is great. Maybe that I I'm taken by that, Alex.
And this episode, we are starting with a hot one. Hook 'em with sex and violence. We're doing lust.
That's
right after the break. We'll be right back with Completely Arbitrary. Hey, let me ask you this. You ever taken a walk and just felt inspired? Maybe you discovered your new favorite restaurant, or popped into the library and found a book that you really wanted to read, or you're like, hey, I think this car dealership used to be a Taco Bell. Well, there's a podcast about this kind of thing now with comedian and actor Alan McLeod, one of the funniest guys. It's called Walking About. It's a new podcast that treks into the simple joy of walking and its connections to health, history, creativity, and of course, community. In each episode, Alan invites a friend to share a little stroll and see where the sidewalk takes him. Alan McLeod has guests including Mike Mitchell, Spoon Man, Spoon Nation for Life. You got Colton Dunn. You got Janet Varney, Eva Anderson, Whitmer Thomas, Gabrus, Ed Begley Jr., Catherine Spears, Andy Richter, and of course, Burger Boy, Nick Weiger. Some of the funniest people. You know this podcast is going to be an absolute hoot. Maybe you could even listen to it while you're taking your walks. So lace up your podcasting shoes and listen to Walking About, out now, wherever you get your pods. You know, here I am at the ripe old age of 35. And one thing that has become really important to me just over the last couple of years is privacy. Besides what I tell you here on the podcast, I basically don't want anyone to know anything about me unless I choose to tell them. And one way I up my privacy game is with NordVPN. Now, if you are like me and didn't know what a VPN was until a couple of weeks ago, let me tell you, a VPN is a virtual private network. And I said to myself, well, sure, that sounds cool, but I really don't know what it is or does. And then the moment I turned it on, I said, I get it now. A VPN changes your IP address, hides your virtual location, and encrypts your connection, which allows you to increase your privacy online. How many times per day do you get scam calls or spam email because your data got leaked somehow? I also get emails from companies saying, hey, I see you bought something with us recently. Unfortunately, we got hacked and your data is now being used to harm you. With a VPN, you do not have to worry about any of this. It secures you when you're using public Wi-Fi. It stops marketers and internet service providers from tracking and collecting your browsing history and your messages and lots of other private data. And you can change your location to any of hundreds of countries, unlocking the power of, I don't know, say, British Netflix. I didn't know how important it was until I started using one. That's the truth. So if you just want to check out the features and see if it's right for you, I bet there's something about a VPN that will surprise you. So get started with NordVPN at nordvpn.com/trees. That's nordvpn.com/trees. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and the link is in the description. Now go get secure. Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. We hope you're feeling horny. Sorry, I hate that word.
I know. Now, I could have, Alex, come up with a tree that I could have been like, yeah, this is a horny tree.
Sure.
And then we could talk about that.
It's covered in spikes or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now, that's a little, it's a little pedestrian for me.
I really appreciate you saying that.
Thank you. So I first learned about this tree in a book called Around the World in 80 Trees.
Yes.
And it's by Jonathan Drory. And it's a spectacular book where it just talks about trees and a little interesting story about them. And it just goes around the world.
It's a bit of a Completely Arbitrary the book.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and I obviously was reading through this and I was like, oh my God, what is this tree? I've heard of it, but I haven't quite, well, let me get about it. And It turns out that this tree is just a sex fiend.
All right.
Like, every time I did some research, like over the last week, to be like, okay, what are we going to talk about today? Mm. Another thing came up.
Oh, wow.
And then another thing came up. And then another thing came up. It's not just, this is probably going to be the best possible example of lust.
All right.
That we're ever going to have.
I love it. Lust it.
This tree is Coco de Mer.
Coco de Mer.
Otherwise known as the double coconut, or... Huh. As I would prefer today, the love nut.
The love nut. Double coconut is graphic.
Oh, Alex, I encourage everyone out there also, give it a quick Google.
Yeah, it's a fun one. Well, Casey, let's imagine that you and I are walking through, let's see, I'm going to say a Dominican Republic forest.
Mm-hmm.
And we come across some Coco de Mer.
I'm happy that that's a place that you chose.
Uh-huh.
Because you're right in the sense that it's tropical and an island.
Yes.
But you're not going to find it there.
Okay. Well, wherever we find it, let's ID this tree.
Let's ID this tree. The thing is, so I also thought that this would be more of a common tree because it's a unique species. So you'd think people would want this and plant it in unique places, in gardens and things like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out it's not quite so simple. It's from the Seychelles. It's native to two islands. Okay. And the Seychelles is this island nation way off of Somalia. It's like 1,600 miles, maybe kilometers north of Madagascar, 800 miles off the coast to the east of Somalia, right kind of smack dab in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Wow.
There are 8,000 wild specimens of this tree. It is endangered, to say the least.
That is not a lot of trees.
Yeah, on tiny little islands, that's all there is.
And it's endemic to these islands?
It is endemic to these islands.
Okay.
And it's a tree that grows to about 100 and 120 feet tall. Like, surprisingly tall for a palm tree. Because this is a palm. As we said, it's a coconut.
So it's a podocarp.
It is not a podocarp.
So it's a, hold on. Shit. Did I mention I got 3 hours of sleep? So it's a, yeah, that's my excuse. As if every other day I'm totally on top of it. So it's a, what the fuck is that called?
That's a palm. You mean monocot.
Monocot.
Yes. It is a monocot. It is a palm in the palm family Ericaceae.
Ericaceae.
Yes, but then R-E-C.
Okay.
As opposed to E-R.
Oh.
So it is a palm. So, again, here's the standard procedure. Don't email us. We're calling it a tree. That's where it's going to go.
Yeah.
It gets to 100 and some feet tall.
That's okay.
It's got a giant single stem. For all intents and purposes, it meets that requirement. If you're upset that it doesn't make secondary growth, I don't care because it makes a secondary growth. Let me tell you. Ooh!
Oh,
is that hot in here? Is it just me? My God.
I got to go to the bathroom for a few minutes.
Anyway, it's just going to take a few minutes. Don't listen. Go away. This is a palm tree that grows there, and everything about it is gigantic.
Wow.
So it will have leaves that are palm leaves, but you may not know that there are 2 to 3 different kinds of palm leaves. One is your classic pinnately compound palm leaf.
I do know this.
Yeah, where it has this big rachis with little bits coming off left and right all the way down that main stem. Then there's the one that had the palmate leaves.
Yes.
So there's both kinds grow down in your classic LA.
Okay.
Like the big ones, the one that we've covered, for instance, the Canary Island palm, that one has these big, long, pinnately compound leaves.
Cool.
Then you have the ones that are palmately compound, and then you have ones that are called Costa palmate.
Costa palmate.
Yeah, which I love as kind of a thing. Like, yeah, it's Costa palmate. You know?
Yeah.
It almost sounds like you're selling jelly or maybe a kind of margarine.
Yeah,
gee, what's
it does.
That? Oh, it's Costa palmate.
Costa palmate. I think you're gonna bring some Costa palmate back with you from Italy.
I probably will. Yeah. They check you, actually, at customs. They'll take it from you.
Yeah.
So it's actually an intermediate between the two types. Ooh. So it's circle shaped. It looks like it's a big circle, kind of palmately compound leaf, but the palmately compound, like little bits, the actual, the big stems that come out and then the little sinuses. So they kind of essentially look like your fingers split. Looks more like they're lobed in a technical sense.
Okay.
So they come out, but they don't start from just one central location. They actually go down the rachis just a little bit so that they are kind of a mixture between the pinnate and the palmate compound of palm leaves specifically. Yeah, I didn't really think about it. Like, it's one of those things that I mean, we don't really cover these kinds of trees very often. And so I just had never actually quite considered it. And then there's a really great, our first link is all about the species itself, which we should note is Lodiosia maldivica.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, cannot forget that.
Casey, I'll say the leaf is very like, what's that bird? A peacock.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It's like peacock feathers.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's that's not too bad of a description. Now, the other thing that I should note is if you go to that species page, it's on a great site called Palmpedia.
Which wow.
is great. Add pedia to the end of everything, and we're just winning at life.
Wookie.
Yeah, exactly. Which Wookiepedia above the fray best. Yeah. Like, that's
S tier.
That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. But if you go down, it has a lot of information, and then it's just chock full of photos that really put this species into context, because this palm leaf is not only big and beautiful, it's also the biggest palm leaf in the world.
Wow, really?
It gets to be 10 meters long.
What?
Now, 10 meters, for those of you in the United States, is essentially 30 feet.
I can't even process that.
It's gigantic.
A single leaf is 30 feet long.
Yes, and that is from the very bottom connected to the stem, the base of that petiole, all the way out to the very tip of the longest bit.
That's incredible.
Yeah, if you scroll
like,
down.
That's like a third of the height of the tree.
Yeah, yeah, it's gigantic.
That's wild.
Like, this tree is nothing to sneeze at.
Casey, palms don't have bark in a traditional sense.
No, not in a traditional sense.
But do they have bite?
This one, kind of. Some of them actually, they do have like hooks on their on their rachis, and they can really be vicious.
Interesting.
I don't think this one does though.
Well, what is palm? I mean, what is the palm equivalent of bark? Is it just more of the same thing that's on the inside, yeah, just on the outside?
I think so, pretty much. Okay. So what they do is they essentially have like an outer, more or less epidermis layer, but everything on the inside is filled with vascular bundles that don't actually expand and put on secondary growth.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah, it's very, very tight knit.
Tell me more about vascular bundles.
Oh, Alex. We're actually going to skip over that, so that kink isn't going to be covered today on this list.
I got to go to the bathroom again.
Oh my God, Alex. It is, yeah, so they have these tall stems, but the thing is, just like all other palms, they don't have secondary growth. So they don't grow outwards. They just grow upwards because as a grass, as a monocot, they grow from this initial tip and then that tip continues to move up. So it's similar to trees, but they just have one big giant apical meristem that just grows up a little bit.
Yeah.
It doesn't grow from the base. So it's not exactly like a grass.
Okay. Okay.
However, the stems don't grow outwards. They have that epidermis layer. They're kind of grayish, brownish, kind of grow it up. They could put on new vascular bundles that expands the diameter.
Of course.
But it's not the same as traditional wood.
One of my favorite fun facts that I learned from this podcast, which is ironic because it's not about technically about a tree.
Oh, okay.
It's about a palm, that palms grow out to their maximum and then they grow up.
Yes, they don't expand.
Yeah.
Isn't
so
that wild?
they get wide. They have this little hump in the ground and they get to their maximum width and then they just shoot up like a shooting star.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They may get a little bit bigger, but like it's not the tree that everyone thinks of. I think that's so fascinating. I also think I learned that maybe not exactly in this podcast, but I definitely nailed it in this podcast. And I should note before we get too far, these are all like, this tree has some of the most like, who has the records? Was that who's the swimmer guy?
Oh, Michael Phelps.
Michael Phelps. And then there's a couple other people, like, they just have all the records or something for, like, running or something. I don't know.
Usain Bolt.
Yeah,
or...
yeah, Alex, you know me. I pay attention to, like, no sports, mostly.
Well,
you're the sports guy of
yes,
the crew.
Yes, that's true. I am a bit of an expert.
Well, this is the Michael Phelps of the tree world in the sense that it has, like, more botanical records than anything else.
Okay.
And so these leaves are the biggest of all palms.
Yeah.
It also lives the longest of all palms. As far as I can tell, I guess, well, I shouldn't quite say that. I'm not sure if that's a fact.
Okay.
But it lives to, like, 800 years is
Holy
what I read.
Shit.
Which is like, what?
That's
like,
amazing.
But it grows the slowest. On average, it was like 1.25 inches a year over 140 years.
Wow.
So they're like, yeah, it's got the record for slowest growth, which is one of those things where I'm like, okay, that I don't know if I can quite believe that. It's like you have a bristlecone pine that has existed for 5,000 years
sure.
and is like 30 feet tall.
Is it among the palms?
I don't, maybe it is among palms and yeah. this, but anyway, I didn't even want to do that because this is not a fun fact show. If you want those fun facts, go look it up on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get Wikipedia here.
This is more than fun facts,
yeah, this
sir.
Is, this is sexy facts.
Oh yeah. Lusty. Let's get it.
And that's what we're going to get into now.
All right.
Which is another good reason for this to be a botanical record breaker because it apparently has one of the real money shot is the seed.
All right.
But the real
choice of words.
Real money shot is the flowers. It is a dioecious palm, which means it grows male and female trees. One tree that only produces the pollen flowers, the male flowers, and one that only produces the female flowers, the one with the ovules on it. So the male inflorescence gets up to a meter long.
Oh my God.
And just when you think that this podcast is only going to be about the sexy seed part, just give this a Google and just go to the Wikipedia page. Honestly, go anywhere. I don't care. Just look up the male flowers of the Coco de Mer, Laodicea Maldivica. And you'll see the world's most phallic flower.
It's incredible.
Like, I'm sorry, if ever from here on out, this is no longer appropriate for children. So you put them away, press pause, we'll give it a second.
Put them away in their kennel.
Okay, come on in. There you go.
You want a treat?
Put the blanket over the top. Make sure they go to sleep.
I will say, you know, I don't know what this says about me, but I did not see a penis when I first looked at this flower.
And what do you see now?
Well, now I see a penis.
Yeah.
But at first I saw like a chocolate dipped frozen banana.
Yes, that's exactly what it looks like with like little like they're like little yellow flowers that just kind of pop out, but like they're tiny
little flowers.
Yeah, they look like specks.
Yes.
Now okay,
little stars in the sky.
Yeah. Now again, okay, are the kids away? All right. You saw a banana that's chocolate covered. I saw an uncircumcised horse penis. Like, I swear to God, I'm like, what the fuck is that thing? It's horrific. It's giant. Like, I would cut this tree down if it was too close to my wife.
Starting to get jealous over here.
The thing is huge.
My favorite part of that description is like uncircumcised horse penis, as if there is a world where we circumcise horses.
Yeah, I guess it's true. It's
maybe
for,
we do.
It's
I don't
for,
know.
Look at this, Alex.
I know, like, Casey.
Get
it's
out of town.
It's undeniable.
So you just you're like, okay. So the reason that this tree was chosen for lust is that the famous double coconuts have been famous for centuries. They were found by sailors in the middle of the Indian Ocean and are washed up on beaches. And they're like, where the hell do these things come from? What are those? Now, if you look those up, which rest assured you should, they look like a curvaceous woman from the waist to mid thigh.
Yes.
On the front or the back, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
It's just as your imagination is going to go wherever it needs to go.
It is Georgia O'Keeffe, the seed.
I love that. Georgia O'Keeffe, the seed.
You know, Casey, I saw like a photo of the seed, context, just on a white background.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I sort of imagined like maybe like an orange size, you know, the size of the fruit, the orange. And then I saw a man holding one,
gently caressing it.
They're like the size of like two footballs put together.
Yes, they're huge. And they get to like enormous. 14 pounds.
That's incredible.
Yes, they're massive.
Wow.
They look to me like the figure that is like most common in like a goddess figure. Like,
oh, yeah.
Where it's very, very much obviously a woman's figure. It looks just like that. It's a little stylized, you know, like I've seen it in necklaces and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
This looks just like the middle portion. In its, like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, I know exactly where all the myths came from for this. Sailors, they've been on the sea for years, maybe months at the minimum. They look in the ocean and they see this butt just floating there. Not only a butt, but a good looking butt. And they're like, oh, my God, what
is that? Send out the nets.
Yeah.
Catch us some booty.
Because of that, it has had this this notion. The classic mythology that happens with humans and natural parts of the world that look like something, because it looks sexy, everyone has assumed that it is a aphrodisiac.
Oh, sure.
For years, Alex, I mean, I should say for centuries, they would keep these, and like only the very well-to-do would have it because they had no idea where they came from.
Yeah.
They were just there floating, but they never actually found the trees that they come from.
Even if they did find the trees, that's like, they're extremely high up and you might not have like the climbing gear.
Precisely. And so of course they would just probably cut it down and that's how everyone does it. But that doesn't really get you, you know, a long-term viable thing. So people would find it and they were like, oh my gosh, I'm keeping this and this is mine. I am the richest, fanciest person.
Mm-hmm.
But they would also sell it to like people who would take the inside kind of seed flesh, because this is the seed. Again, a record. It's the world's biggest seed.
Yeah.
And the world's biggest fruit by weight. So it is used by a lot of Asian market or Asian kind of mages, I guess, as like this. We're going to make it into a potion and it's going to be an aphrodisiac and your lover is going to really think that you're the thing now.
Wow. Love potion.
Exactly. So, but it's not allowed anymore because this is such an endangered rare tree.
Oh, good.
The actual, the flesh itself of the seed, it's essentially listed as a controlled substance. If you have it, it is illegal because you can only get it from this thing, which means you had to have stolen or taken a seed, and that is not allowed. It's not allowed to be traded. It's that endangered.
Take nothing but memories.
Exactly. Take nothing but memories and look at it in a garden and then go back to the hotel room and just keep it at that.
Imprint it in your brain as well as you can.
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, so I see two other things. Of course, it looks like a curvaceous hips and crotch of a woman.
Very much.
I hate that word crotch. We got to figure something else out there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's, I think I also do like people use it with trees all the time. Like, yeah, throw the rope over the crotch or like that.
Oh.
And I always say union because I am trying to get away from like these sexualized or like body part terms.
Yeah.
In the rest of the world.
Okay. Well, it looks just like a woman's union.
That's exactly what I was going to recommend, Alex.
I think all this horniness is messing with your head, sir.
Yeah. You're on my brain wave.
Thank you. But there's two other things that it looks like to me.
Okay.
If you're still having a hard time imagining it, which I'm sure none of you are, is like one of those pillows that you'll get, like if you have hemorrhoids, you'll get like an O pillow that you can sit on and it like elevates your asshole off of the chair.
I see. I am not familiar with those pillows.
All right. Well, that's one thing.
I've never heard of that.
And then another one is like, if you see like visualizations of a human egg being fertilized and it's starting to like split halfway through its very first split.
Yes.
It's like two cells kind of coming together.
That's a good one. That's totally accurate.
But yeah, this seed is wild. And I actually can't look directly at it because I'm working right now.
Yeah, because I'm working. Also, I'm very religious.
I think this is it feels like a sin. Speaking of sins, it feels like a sin to even look at this thing.
It sure is, Alex. And that is why I'm so happy. Now, this goes a step further. I was looking up the, just doing some research, and I think it's on also the Wikipedia page, which again, I want everyone to know, it's a great place to start, but the best information I got actually from this, the Pompedia.
Oh, yeah.
There is this photo with like these two, it's of the male plant, which also, by the way, they're androgynous until about 40 years old. It takes that long for them to make their first flower.
Wow.
And only then do you know if it is one or two of the dioecious options.
Oh, interesting. Making 40 years.
Pollen. Yeah, exactly.
That's like puberty hitting at 40 years old.
Yeah, right?
Okay.
Imagine that.
Wow.
So it this picture has like these two little circles on it, and the circles are showing a slug and a gecko, I think, or a lizard of some kind. So I was looking at it, I was like, oh, what is that thing? And I just like went and read the caption because I couldn't tell what the slug was exactly. And the caption is of a slug that's name is Vaginula.
Oh,
and I was
boy.
Like, God, what is this tree? Even the slugs that crawl on the male flowers are named after the vagina.
You know, you receive what you put out in the world.
I suppose you're right. And so every single thing I looked up, this tree we don't even need to talk about the evolutionary curiosity that it is, because why the hell does it have a seed that's this large?
Yeah.
On an island in the middle of the Indian Ocean.
Yeah.
We don't even need to talk about that. We can just talk about the fact that everything about it has named after a vagina. It looks like a vagina, or it looks like a penis, and that's why it's a lustful tree.
It's just stunning, Casey. Well, Casey, let's talk about that evolution.
Way to really bring it down, Alex.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. I was really having a good time, and you know, here we are.
I want to say something. Casey prompted me.
I did not.
To ask about the evolution.
And then I just shut you down. Yes. Thank you, Alex. I'm sorry. This evolution is just, it's worth bringing up.
Okay.
Because aside from the fact that this is a sinful tree and it caused a lot of sailors to do sinful stuff, this is a fascinating evolutionary wonder. So we talked a little bit about things, about island biogeography. Which is essentially the fact that weird things happen on islands in a literal sense, but it's also a way for us to scientifically look at the size of space and resources that are needed for species to either survive or if it gets too small that they go extinct.
Like being on an island? Because it's like a nice, small, like secluded. It's almost like a, what's that in science when you're testing something? It's like, the thing that's the same all the time. It's like a control group.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, but it's also like this weird, there's two ideas. There's island in the literal sense. You have literally an island in the middle of an ocean,
right?
But it's also an island that you can think of like a mountaintop,
yes,
or, a park in the middle of a city,
or like a canyon that's like in the middle of a desert,
exactly.
Like a little oasis or something.
Yeah. That's perfect. And so the initial idea of islands like being this biogeographical interesting thing is weird stuff was happening on them. And so people started to study them. And then they figured out like if you have one population that happens to stick on an island, it's just big enough that that population doesn't go extinct. Then it starts to inbreed on itself because there's no other places around that have another population to crossbreed with.
Right.
So a ponderosa pine, for instance, has trees over here and then trees over there, and there's trees in this whole gradient of this forest. So there's a lot of genetic variation.
Mm.
If you had one ponderosa pine grow on an island, happenstance, and then it creates a couple new ponderosa pines, then those start interbreeding, you now have this bottleneck of genes. And then as those genes, if they can survive, which it's not sure that they will, then you start to get really strange evolutionary things. So two of them are big things like elephants become small.
Oh.
They become miniaturized.
What?
Where normally we think, oh, it's going to be a big elephant. There's elephants that they found fossils of that made their way onto islands somehow.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they were Shanghai'd there as the rest of the world separated, or maybe they swam because elephants are good swimmers.
Mm.
Nobody knows for
low
sure.
Low tide or something.
Yeah, just some weird thing. Who knows exactly how?
Interesting.
But then a population survives, and then the elephants over time, like evolutionary time, become smaller.
Wow.
But then you have the opposite effect, which is like the dodo and this palm, Coco de Mer.
Wow.
Where you have these normally small things get gigantic.
Mm.
The tortoises, the famous tortoises, there's another species on these islands as well.
Okay.
And it is this really weird, like no one quite knows why. They just end up getting massive, and they call it island giganticism.
Wow.
So this is the only species where this has happened. And essentially, they're like, well, we think that it is one of two things. One, there is this genetic bottleneck where you have the genes that really are only for big things, and then they keep on interbreeding. So things just kind of stay big.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's also the idea that this one species needed to have the most energy it could have inside of its seed because there's so much shade and there's not enough room to disperse elsewhere.
Oh.
So all the babies had to grow up through a dense forest.
Yeah.
And so this tree has a unique technique for it where the double coconut lands and then it sends out a cotyledon, which is that very first leaf, right?
Yes.
But that first leaf grows up to 30 feet underground, about a half a meter down or so, away from the main parent, and then it grows upright. Isn't that insane?
What?
Did I mention another biological metal for this tree? Longest, biggest cotyledon.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and then it pops up.
Oh my God. So that's sort of like, you know, like the lower bracket of a square. If like a tree will have like really long limbs.
Yeah.
And they'll grow seeds at the end of those limbs.
Yes.
And drop those seeds. And then the seed that drops will be far enough away from the parent.
Yeah, precisely.
To survive and compete. But that's happening in the air.
Yes.
Where
yeah.
it like kind of makes sense for it to happen.
Right. Seed kind of drops and moves a little bit further away. Now you have a tree that's not quite underneath the mother tree.
Yes.
Yes.
And this is seed drops straight down right next to the
yeah,
tree.
Because it's huge. It's not going anywhere by wind, you know?
Sure, yeah. It's gonna land in the mud like a big like an anvil.
Yeah.
And then travels itself 30 uh-huh. feet away
yeah.
and then grows up.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Isn't it insane?
I love this tree.
Everything about it is fascinating.
That's amazing, Casey. Yeah.
So it's just one of those things, like the biology and the science of it. Extraordinary.
Yeah.
The sexiness of it,
oh.
off the charts.
It's a 10 out of 10.
It's gotta be. So
yeah.
It's just, I just love this tree and I just want to go see one and I want to go like, look at it. So we got to go to the Seychelles and we got to check it
okay.
out. They are protected there. There's like 8,000 individual trees that mm-hmm. are growing there right now. They interbreed in like a very specific way. Like they're very unique and very touchy. Like you can't just like, great, there's one. Go get a coconut. Grow it over there. They don't do it like that.
Touchy is right.
Oh, Alex.
Casey, we got to give a review to this tree. I can't wait, but we must take a break. We will be right back with the first of the seven deadly stems, lust, Coco de Mer, here on Completely Arbitrary.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back.
Just did a nice bath. Feeling good. I'm feeling set.
I had to take a walk. Think about baseball.
Think about baseball.
That's such a classic one. I'm a little flustered. That was our discussion of Coco de Mer. Casey, it's time for our review of this deadly stem.
This is the dirtiest we've ever been.
I love it. It's all been leading to this.
This is our final form.
Here's how it works. We're going to get some final thoughts on this tree and then give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. Casey, as our horniest co-host, we begin with you.
All right. So this is a tree that I knew I was going to like. I looked it up, or when I read through this book like a couple years ago, this is one that I was like, oh, I've heard of this. Like, it's the world's biggest seed. Great. Yeah, cool. Okay, it's fascinating. And then you keep reading, and it's like, oh, also it's got this really fun like mythos to it, which has caused it to be, oh, it's endangered. Oh, interesting. Oh, but it's endangered because it's on this island. Oh, it's on this island, and it's done this amazing evolutionary trick. Oh, and the seed does this. And like, it just keeps getting more and more and more.
You formed like a sexual parasocial relationship with this tree.
Not, well, that happened only after doing the research in my room alone. Don't come in. Busy.
Pictures of double coconuts.
Just on the wall. In my textbooks folded through. Yes,
in your locker.
Yeah. But this is... like, it's fascinating, like, just, like, as a tree, everything biologically is so curious about it.
Yeah.
And then all the myths that come with it is all about it. This is a 10 out of 10 Golden Cones of Honor tree for me.
Wow! Like, yeah!
It's amazing.
Casey!
This is the most fascinating palm, certainly, of them all. Beyond that, it's the most I cannot think of another tree that has so many accolades.
Yeah.
And everything is so just damn curious about it. It's got to be 10 out of 10.
That's incredible,
Casey. This
one's
a 10 out of 10.
Wow. 10 out of 10 golden cones of honor for the Coco de Mer.
That's what it's going to be.
From dendrologist Casey Clapp.
Yeah. Okay, Alex, that's it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I know that this is, I know that that could be shocking to some
people.
No. But you gotta go just dive into this thing.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, and just make sure that you have your safe search off. Alex, what do you think about this tree? I know that this is the first introduction to it. I know sometimes it's a little like, it's hard to jump into. I don't want to know. I just want to make sure I got consent before, you know, I really force you to make this choice right now.
Thanks. But, I mean, if anything, I look at this tree and I think I should call her. this tree, I'm stunned. I just adore it. Let's start from the top. Great name, Coco de Mer. You know, who is she?
Yes.
You know, the double coconut. Not only is it a big seed.
Yeah.
But it's like this double seed.
This is really weird.
It's wild and really, really cool. I love the texture of the outer shell of the seed.
Yeah, it's kind of like dark with striations on it.
Yeah, it looks like a little, remember in, what was that, Princess Mononoke?
Yeah.
Like the iron ball they found inside the demon boar.
Yeah, yeah.
It has that kind of like swirly demonic kind of texture.
Yeah.
You do not understand how big these leaves are until you see the photo of the man carrying one on his shoulder.
Yes.
When you described it, and I was like, I had one thing in my mind, and then I saw it, and it was like 10 times as large as I thought.
It's wild.
Evolutionary thing where it drops a seed and then that shoots out 30. That's so, so cool and so weird. Casey, I am right there with you.
What?
10 out of 10.
No way.
Yes.
Alex, we've never done this before. Oh my God.
On a palm, no less.
On a palm, no less.
Yeah.
God, that is like the greatest sin that some of my arborist friends could say we could ever do.
It's got to be, Casey. It is. In terms of, you know, if this were a tree, it would be also a 10 out of 10.
It is a tree.
Well, sure.
I see what you're saying, though.
But yeah, I can't deny it any less. This, it nailed it.
It did.
This is like the most, and it's so like on theme too. Like every part of it is sexual.
No matter what you're into, this tree's got it. Like I promise.
It's got some little something
for
everybody.
It's got some little
something. Well, Casey, as you know.
Oh my God.
Because we both gave it a 9+.
Yes.
This tree is inducted into the Golden Arboretum of Honor. And as such, I will play the Melodica induction song.
I cannot wait. Oh my God. I can't believe this.
And as I cannot find my Melodica right now, I will be performing the song on guitar.
But I like, Alex, that you, you're still going to perform the Melodica part on guitar.
Yes. Yeah. Of course. Here we go. To the Coco de Mer, we honor you.
Incredible. You guys, Alex can play anything, anywhere. Like, next I want to be like, all right, Alex, do it on the saxophone. that was way better than I would have thought. Oh, jeez.
All right, great job, Coco de Mer. That was our review of the Coco de Mer. Casey, it's time for a brand new game.
What?
I have some Animal Kingdom mating ritual facts.
Oh my God. Okay. All right.
And I made up some Animal Kingdom mating ritual facts. And it's up to you to decipher which is which. This is fact or fuction.
God. Oh, we need to put a big explicit sign on this one.
All right, Casey. Are you ready for your first animal mating fact?
Alex, I'm ready.
Okay, here we go. The primate Pulthicidiae are such teases. These monkeys engage in hours of foreplay with their mates, which helps make the females of the species extra fertile.
Interesting.
Fact or fuction?
That's got to be a fact. Because monkeys are... That's what monkeys do. But then again, monkeys go quick. Only bonobos really take their time and dolphins enjoy themselves. Fuction.
Casey, that is fuction.
Yes! All right.
Wow, you saved yourself from a wrong answer there.
I did. It's like in Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me when they say, I think it's a answer that you've given me.
All right, next one.
Ooh, okay.
Clingy much? Anglerfish males spend their whole lives searching for a mate, only to latch on tight and fuse their bodies together when they find the one. Fact or fuction?
I actually know that this, in fact, is a fact.
That is correct, Casey.
I love that, Alex.
Amazing.
Like, they literally just become, like, sperm-producing warts on the side of these giant females. And you can find females with multiple males having fused onto their bodies.
Really living the life.
They really are. I mean, my God.
All right, next one, Casey. Ready?
Yeah.
Some stamina. The mouse-like marsupial Antechinus can copulate for 12 hours straight.
Oh, that's got to be fact. That sounds like it's a fact. It's Australia. It's a marsupial, so it's probably from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's weird down there. No offense. It's the animal kingdom is unique.
It is a fact, Casey.
Yes, 12 hours?
12 hours.
Oh my God.
I don't know what, I mean, like in the animal kingdom, I don't know why that's important.
Well, I feel like, maybe ducks or something. They have like corkscrew penises, so they essentially stay in long enough so that the female gets fertilized by that male duck alone.
Oh, wow.
And so it essentially, and there's like all sorts of things where like, does the male duck rape the female duck? So we're not even going to engage in that debate. That is not what we're covering.
Yeah.
However, it's fascinating because they basically say, I'm staying here till it's done.
Like, wow.
Not that I'm done. The process of fertilization
totally.
Is done.
This will be my baby.
Exactly. Yeah. It's
this
crazy.
Will be my baby. Okay. Ready, Casey?
I'm ready.
Horny little devils.
Oh.
The scales of the thorny devil, a desert-dwelling lizard, are so sharp and hard, mating often leaves both partners worse for wear and in need of some serious R&R.
I'm going to say that is fuction.
It is fuction, Casey.
Yes.
And what made you think that?
Well, I just have never heard of like something being so armored that it like actually hurts the sexual partner.
Yeah.
I have heard of sexual partners like really scratching each other up.
Sure.
But never by happenstance. It's always been very much like on purpose.
Okay, yeah.
Where it's like, oh, we're gonna fight. And then if we happen to fertilize each other during that fight, then that's the way it goes.
Jesus. All right, Case, last one.
Whoo. Okay, all right, here we go.
The climax, as it were.
Oh.
Twerk it, girlfriend. The males of the black widow species are known to shake that thang in front of the females, hoping to impress with their funky undulations.
Oh, I think this is a fact.
It is a fact,
yes!
Casey.
Yes. Oh my God, I feel good about that.
5 for 5.
That's feeling good.
Nice job.
Yeah, there's some spiders that do that, and like the male spider is often the one that does the dancing and the impressing, and then the female spider, which there's usually also sexual dimorphism, so the female spiders are bigger and tougher and scarier.
Wow.
So the males have to be like really careful and also really be like, no, look at my dance. I'm trying to be sexy. I just want to have some sex. I'm not trying to eat you. Please don't eat me.
Yeah.
And inevitably the females are like, all right, yeah, cool. Come on over. All right, well, that was nice. Anyway, I'm going to, and then they eat them anyway.
It's not all too different from humans.
Yes. Which is why I'm not married yet, because I don't want to get eaten. It's my biggest thing.
You got to start twerking, okay?
Yeah, I do. That's what I'm missing.
That was Fact or Fuction. We hope you enjoyed it. Casey.
Oh, God.
It's time for our completely arbitrary AMA. Of course, if you want to ask a question of the podcast, you can support the podcast at arbitrarypod.supercast.com and become a Tremium member. Casey, this week our question comes from Froggy.
Oh, hello, Froggy.
Froggy says, croak, croak, croak.
Well, I think that's a good question. Wait, I think that's a really good question.
I guess that's a toad.
No, I think, I mean, they all make that sound some way.
I suppose so. Froggy says, with all the different types of leaves in the world, there is a leaf for every preference. Is there a tree with leaves that you just can't let go of? Whether you love them or hate them,
mm-hmm.
We're here for all the tea. Hey, speaking of leaves, thanks, Froggy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Casey.
All right.
Let's do, you know, like people will say, like, what was a rose and what was a thorn of your day?
Yeah, and a bud, what you're looking forward to.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. let's stick to rose and thorn because I think it more closely applies to this exercise.
Sure.
Let's pick one leaf that we adore and one leaf that we do not adore.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Let's start with you, Case.
Oh, all right. I'm going to sit here and think a little bit. All right, done. Hi, Alex.
Wow. Record time.
Record time. Uh-huh. So I think the leaf that I probably think is most fascinating, and there are lots to choose from, but I'm going to choose a leaf that I personally think is wonderful, and that is of the Kentucky coffee tree.
Wow.
I think it's fantastic because it is a bipinnately compound leaf, and it is also, I believe, and we'll have to go back and listen to our episode to make sure. It's the biggest leaf of all the trees in North America.
Wow.
As long as we exclude the palms.
And that's because It is a leaf made of leaflets.
Exactly.
So the leaf itself is like huge.
Precisely. Yeah, yeah. So
even though the leaflets, which you might think are the leaves, are small.
Very tiny.
Yeah.
But not a very tiny. They're actually normal size for any given tree.
Right.
But yeah, exactly. They are bipinnately. In fact, I think they might get up to like tripinnately every now and then.
Wow.
Because I'm trying to remember. Maybe not. I'd have to really look at that.
Science has gone too far.
It really has. But they're just like fascinatingly huge, but they're also like beautiful.
Mm.
Like they look kind of delicate and feathery, but in like a kind of macro way.
Cool.
Because there are other trees like the acacia and the mimosa where they have also bipinnately compound leaves, but their leaves are like tiny, teeny, tiny little things.
Yeah, like half an inch or quarter inch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I like this one because it's big and it's huge and it's also on a fascinating tree. So that is that's my choice.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite leaf. What about you?
Yeah, let me do my favorite and then you'll do your least favorite. Okay, so my, oh boy, I'm split between two, but for the sake of this, I'll choose one. I'm going to say catalpa. Catalpa, Casey.
Catalpa.
It's just like a big warm blanket.
It is. That is very true.
I love catalpa leaves. I love catalpa trees.
Yeah. Me too.
One of my favorite trees in Portland is a catalpa. And those leaves are just so big and beautiful and bold.
They're floppy.
That's ultimately, I think why I like them so much is because not just because they're really big, but they're also like really soft.
Yeah.
They're just like a big, like, They're just like a big warm hug of a tree.
I love that. That's a great description.
Yeah, I love those leaves.
All right. Very well done. I appreciate this. Yeah. Okay.
What is one of your not so loved leaves?
Least favorite leaves. That's a bit of a tough one, honestly. Like you can have a best favorite opinion, but like a least favorite, that like you have to take a lot of things into consideration that have kind of wronged you, right?
Wow.
So
it is funny to think that a leaf has wronged you.
Oh, yeah. And there are certainly leaves that have wronged me. For instance, the tree of heaven smells so bad.
Oh.
Like, I don't like it. Sure. I don't like it for the smell. But otherwise, it's fine. Like, everything, all other things equal. Actually, the tree of heaven got some pretty cool leaves.
Mm.
I would probably go with the English holly for obvious reasons.
Of course.
They are so sharp and pokey at the edges where instead of being like a serrated edge, they have like these points that come off to extremely sharp tips, and then the leaves continue back. Then they have another one. They have like an undulating 7 or 9 different individual, extremely sharp, pokey points on their leaves. You cannot like reach in and casually just be like, oh, I'm just going to kind of like take it. It hurts. Like it legitimately hurts.
If your Frisbee lands in that,
you're just leave your Frisbee.
Yeah, you're going to find a new Frisbee.
Yeah, you're going to get out of there. Or you're going to cut the tree down. That also works, which I've done before and it's no fun.
Or put on your hawking gloves.
Yes,
get in there.
Exactly. Just in case you also run into a hawk, it's convenient to have those on. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to say, the English holly. It's also, you know, just to add to it, it's an invasive species here in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one that, like, you walk through the forest and you get punched by an invasive species that also is very sharp. It just is it's an injury on top of an insult.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my least favorite, I have kind of a general type of leaf that I don't like, and then I have a specific one.
Okay.
I'm going to indulge. In general, I am not a fan of lanceolate leaves.
Really? The skinny ones?
Yeah. I don't think they're that attractive.
Yeah.
It's
the willow-like leaves. You're like, nah.
Yeah, not into it.
Okay.
I just think they look kind of weak.
Yeah, that's fair. All right. Yeah. I like a strong, a leaf that really shows power.
Yeah.
All right.
But and this might shock you, Casey, one of my least favorite leaves is the leaf of the sugar maple.
Really?
I am not a maple leaf man.
You're not? Really?
I do not like the shape of the maple leaf. Canadian listeners, please forgive me.
Everyone from Toronto, we're very sorry. That's where I think it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. It's the name of the hockey team.
Sure, yeah. I mean, the Canadian flag.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I do not like maple leaves.
Not a maple leaf fan.
I just think they look very, like, 90s and kind of tacky, if I'm honest.
Interesting. I do kind of like that, where, like, maples, you guys just need a rebrand.
Totally.
The oaks, They're fresh. They're clean. They
Oaks
got lots
are like
of different things.
A modern classic. Like they're like a fine like Scotch brand that hasn't changed in 100 years.
All right, yeah, that makes sense. But maples, you like the cheap vodka.
Yeah, maples can do better, I think.
I love that. I'm sorry, but I do think that's so funny. Like honestly, they're a little bit passe.
That's just kind of the vibe I get. I'm not sure where that comes from. Yeah. Okay.
Fascinating. There is a tree leaf for everyone.
That's right. Hey, you out there, let us know your favorite and least favorite leaves. Hop on Instagram and leave a comment on the post for this video or this episode. I'm very curious. Thank you so much, Froggy, for your question. As I said, if you've got a question for the podcast, join up and become a Treemium member on Completely Arbitrary Treemium at arbitrarypod.supercast.com. That's ArbitraryPod. When you support the podcast, you can also get bonus audio episodes, video episodes, live streams, Casey.
15% off our store, everything.
That's right. All merch, 15% off, always.
And if you join the Cone Club, not only do you get a new, fresh sticker from any amount of artists that we have that we are working with, Alex finds them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you will also get access to all of the cones from every month in the past.
That's right.
We've been doing this for 3 years now. So we have just a whole forest of cones just waiting for you. And of course, get 20% off.
That's right. Casey, clap.
Hey, great, great episode. Might be a little frantic, but you know, that's what happens when you're a little excited. You got to kind of take a breath. You got to, anyway, Alex, I got to go. Can we wrap this up, please?
Hey, at least you have a girlfriend. So that was lust. What sin are we committing next week, Casey?
Oh, well said. Next week, we are jumping in to sloth.
Oh boy, my favorite to commit.
Well, I honestly, it's not that I planned this all out, but you know, you once told me, Alex, well, if we want to sell things, you got to start with sex and violence.
That's right.
So I didn't start with violence, but we definitely started with sex.
Yes.
And then as everyone knows, you know, once you get done copulating, you just want to have a cigarette and take a nap.
Oh, I love it, Casey.
So now we're going to move to sloth where we can be a little lazy. We can take it easy for a little bit.
Wonderful.
We can do the Netflix part of the Netflix and chill.
I love this idea,
Casey. I
guess
it could be chill.
All right. We'll see you next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of Completely Arbitrary. See you next time. Bye.
Later.
Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp. Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals. If you want to support this podcast and become a Treemium member, head over to arbitrarypod.supercast.com. Thanks for listening.